Ministry for Ministry of Help, so we have to adjust ourselves so we won't be scattered so much. I want when I'm getting ready to function in ministry, I want you closer to me. So I don't want you all the way to the back, and I want you to get about even on both sides. So your pet side, just turn it loose. And as you get ready for ministry, I'm going to put this table right in the center. And I can work from there. Yeah, bring it back this way a little bit. All right, good on. We'll do a few moments of praying. Let's pray based on first, get your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I want you to underline something in your Bible that are mysteries of God. You're stewards of the mystery of God. And it's so important that we realize the sacredness and the seriousness of this fact of being a steward of the mysteries of God. I think it has been taken lightly to some degree in ministries who have not known how important this really is. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2.
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about that we're stewards of the mystery of God. And they said, for stewardship you have to be found found faithful. And so we need to find out how that's going to happen. How are you going to be found faithful? How some people miss out on that aspect of ministry because they're running here, they're running there, they're trying to do what everybody's doing instead of settling down and letting God reveal to them what their part to play. Just because somebody got a large ministry and a lot of people, that doesn't mean that's for you to follow.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And a man with or a woman with not so large a church doesn't mean that they're out of the will of God.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
See? And I think socially, we've got socially and sensual in ministry.
Yes, sir.
Instead of letting the Spirit lead us, and we sometimes think we're not doing something because somebody else is doing something else.
Right.
But you have to be faithful where you are.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to pray along this line. I'll give you tonight is just a strange night, so just stick with me. I'll give you 7 to 8 things you need to be praying about. Sit down and then we'll get back up and pray. 7 to 8 things that you need to be praying about. Because we're going to deal with attacks on ministries tonight. How you can be attacked. Number one, you want to pray for increase of the knowledge in the Holy Ghost. Increase of the knowledge in the Holy Ghost. And the way I pray, I just say, Lord, I'm praying for increase of the knowledge in the Holy Ghost. You know, that's spiritual knowledge. And then now this next day, I'm going to have to explain it. And you want to pray for knowledge of the office in which you stand. Now, office does not just include the fivefold ministry gift in Ephesians 4:11. It also includes, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, includes the ministry of help. So I believe everybody in the body of Christ stands in some type of office, some type of ministry. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
But whatever you do, do not walk in an office that God haven't called you.
Amen.
Wow. It'll kill you.
Yes, sir.
It'll kill you.
That's right.
Because you become a bigger target for the enemy and you don't have the grace to fulfill it.
Yes, sir.
See, every office carry a grace. Write that down now. Every office carry a grace. You remember Paul said, I am what I am.
Yes, sir.
Because of the grace of God. It is upon me. So every ministry office carry a grace. So if you step out of office, get excited because somebody say, you know, you're supposed to be something and walk in that office and don't mess around and Satan catch you there with no grace to handle it.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to be flip-flopping and then finally you're going to be cut off.
Wow.
You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Good sounding titles and names and all that are good within themselves. But they set you up for a target for Satan to wipe you out
yep.
ahead of time.
Yes,
Because you're saying you're something that you're not.
That's right.
Now, anyone with a genuine call for any office, they know it.
Right.
I know I'm a pastor. I know I'm a apostle. I know I walk in the prophet. I know that. I'm not afraid of this. I know that. Because I know I need grace to do it, you see. So ask God for the knowledge of your office. And that you be skilled in it. Now see, these prayers are real accurate. That you be skilled in the office that God has called you in. Skillful in the anointed. Knowing how to flow, focus, and follow that anointing at all times. See, becoming skillful. I mean, in other words, almost. This word is almost like practicing. Mm. You know, it's not putting on practice. I mean, learning a lesson when you go through it.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Becoming skillful. Skillful. See, because we don't want to use that word skillful because we think we can just slap around in the spirit. You know.
Yeah, right.
You know, just act like you're falling or something like that, you know, walking like somebody else or talking like somebody else. No, you need to become skillful because of your uniqueness and potential.
Yes, that's right.
My God, you heard that?
Yes, sir.
Your uniqueness and potential, nobody else has it. So you'll die and leave us without it because you tried to be like somebody else. So you got to pray that the Holy Spirit, He's the only one can make you skillful. Once you learn something in the anointing, once you have seen the anointing function in a certain way, you need to make note of that in your spirit.
Yes, sir.
That the next time the anointing want to flow that way, you can yield to it.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about being skillful in the anointing.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes.
It's such a thing. Yes, sir. Another word is being accurate in the anointing. Being accurate. See, all of this is spiritual activities we're talking about. Ministry is spiritual activity. So it's the word and the spirit. Word and the spirit. Word and the spirit. Word and the spirit. Not just the word. Not just the spirit. Word and the spirit. They work together in harmony to keep you in place. You can't go functioning in the spirit without the word. You can't go functioning in the word without the spirit.
Amen.
You need both. So that's why as a student of school, you watching by the net, as a student of school, these, I've given you three things already, right? How many things I've given you? I'll give you three things. Let me see. Three, let's see. Four. Three. Three things. I am giving you no more three things. I don't know where you got the other one from. I give you the increase of the knowledge in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And the knowledge of your office.
Yes, sir.
Number two. And that they be skillful in it.
Yes,
and I added on, I guess you might add on, in the anointing. Skillful in the anointing of the office that the Lord have set you in.
Yes.
Now make known this now. All of us are not pastors. All of us are not prophets or teachers or evangelists and all that. You understand? But you're in this school. I'm going to say some grateful things to you tonight. Now, I don't usually talk this kind of language, but I'm grateful that you love the Lord enough to spend this time to try to develop yourself.
Yes, sir.
I think a whole lot of other people need to be in a training institution like this, but they're just too lazy, I guess. But every member of the body of Christ is in some type of office to help. The office of help.
That's right.
All right. Then you need to pray for favor with God and with man and with men. Favor with God. Why men? Well, there are some men God going to use to get you some places you can't get by yourself.
Yes, sir.
But you don't owe him anything.
There you go.
See? You pray. Now, if y'all don't pray this prayer, it's up to y'all. If y'all don't pray this prayer, but I tell you, you can be a whole lot further than I was when I began if you start praying it.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, 40 years back now. I'm working from 40 years back, over 40 years, four decades.
Wow.
And I'm telling you stuff you can enter in with. Are you following me?
Glory to God.
And then for godly wisdom at all times. It's not in your book, you know. for godly wisdom at all times. See, don't move lest you ask God for wisdom. His wisdom. His counsel.
Yes, sir.
His understanding of the situation you're about to enter into. His insight. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, all of these things we're talking about in ministry, you can apply to your personal life. If you listen to me, your life will change tonight. There are some baffling things that come in all of our lives. It's according to how we handle it, how we come out. Now, there's no use in you struggling. There's no use in you suffering. Put grace in that place.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Always rest in the grace of God. It'll get you out every time. Don't follow 15 preachers. Don't be in 4 or 5 camps. Find your company. Find out where God has planted you and stick with that company, because that company is going to mature you. There'll be correction in that company. Direction in that company. There'll be a time when it looks like that company is holding you back. Don't break rank. Don't break rank. You're going to go out and you're going to be flipping and flopping like you like that. What do you call them things when the people talk tranquilly? With them strings on them? That's the way your ministry is going to be. You're a puppet. You'll be put flipping and flopping because it didn't go like you wanted to. Sometimes it does not supposed to go like you wanted to go.
That's right.
You're going the wrong way.
That's right. Yes, sir.
See? You got to trust who you follow.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right.
Yeah. You got to almost get to the point where you can shut your eyes and follow that person, because you know that person going to lead you in green pastures.
That's right.
You know that person not out to get you, not out to trap you, not out to trip you, not out to trick you, but that person is following the Lord. Don't follow nobody that's not following the Lord. That's your own dumb fault. You follow somebody not following the Lord. That's your own dumb fault. You follow somebody you know full of sin. That's your fault. That should be your own fault.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Then you want to pray to know God's perfect will, plan, and purpose. You want to know God's perfect will, his plan, and his purpose. Now, your faith will have to be renewed every day. Your mind will have to be renewed every day. You see, we're trying to live on old faith. But your faith, like your mind, has to be renewed on a daily basis, fresh faith. God, give me some fresh faith, for this is a fresh day. I need fresh oil, and I need fresh faith. I need fresh leading. I need fresh wisdom. I need fresh knowledge. I need fresh understanding, Lord. Fresh.
Wow.
But a man says, faith don't come by hood. It come by hearing. And let me correct some things. Charismatic, the word of faith, full gospel, we have to bring all of them together.
Right.
Yes, sir.
There are some things we learn out of each one of them we cannot throw to the curb.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
We're in another dimension of ministry now. We can't park there because God is venturing us out in deeper dimension of the Holy Ghost. We can bring the word we learn. But we can't just park there and stay there with the same pattern now.
That's right.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Feel like somebody just jumped off the bus. You got lost. You understanding what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Understand? You see, the most likely name for any type of ministry is full gospel. But not the tradition of full gospel. Full gospel. All churches ought to be full gospel. Full of the gospel,
yes,
and the thing that the gospel represents. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, so to know God's perfect will, you know, Romans 12:2 talks about that. Yeah. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So you got to, and then as Ephesians 4:23 talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Philippians 2:5, having the mind of Christ. See, all that's important. Then, and I like this one. You're not gonna find this in no book. So you better try to get a good copy of it tonight. Number 7, the 7th thing you should pray for: to walk in the presence of God with His face turned towards you and His hands on you. Good God Almighty, I can preach that, boy. Huh? Listen. You praying, say, God, I want to walk in your presence. I want your face turned toward me. And I want your hands on me. Now just tell me what a man or a woman couldn't do in the body of Christ or for the body of Christ in that position. You're in the presence of God. God has His face turned towards you. He's looking at you. And then He got His hand. Remember Ezekiel said a hand? Dry bone doesn't matter when the hand of the Lord on you. The valley either. The mountain either. Nothing matter when God has His hand on you. See, you're supposed to be supernatural.
Yes, sir.
You're supposed to function in the supernatural. All the supernatural is that the Holy Ghost, God hands on you. You're in God's presence. That's what the supernatural is. See, you come to the grip to the fact that, oh, I'm not doing this.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I see. All I have to do is hold on. See, and be faithful.
Yes, sir.
Be faithful. A faithful man abound in blessing, the word said.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because, you know, the reason I have to instruct you so strong tonight is because of attacks, manipulation, false ministry, familiar spirits. And so I want you to be equipped enough that you heard this, that you know how to deal with it when it comes up, whatever facet of spirituality God going to Eugene, that I know that you came to this school and we put enough in you to be able to understand when a familiar spirit is trying to lead you astray.
Yes, sir.
Never get angry fast. Wait till the Lord get angry.
Yes.
Wow.
Don't you get angry by yourself. Wait till God get angry. When God get angry, you know He do get angry sometimes.
Yeah.
When God get angry, He'll handle it.
Yes, He is.
But you're going to try to handle it in the flesh or your senses, and you're going to get offended.
Right.
You're going to get in strife. You're going to walk out of love. And then you're going to become a target for Satan.
That's right.
That's why Ephesians 4:27 says, you got it. I thought somebody would answer. Not to give place to the devil. Don't give him no foothold. See, we got 2 or 3 scriptures we're going to deal with at the beginning of our class tonight that we're going to deal with resistors, but I want to deal with it in a facet that the Spirit of God is showing me. I want to show you some things about resisting and being resisted, because sometimes you'll be resisted in ministry, and the enemy may attack and try to set you up, but if you know what to do, it doesn't matter. Matter of fact, you'd be stronger after that.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And then you won't be walking around fearful because it's not working out.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it don't work out on purpose. Good God. What did he say? Sometimes it don't work out on purpose. There's a lesson to be learned. There's a trust to be developed. If I let it work out, you'll never get to that level of trust. Sometime physically or sensually, you got to walk with the blindfold on. Why? The Bible said we walk by faith. You're not going to handle this off of walking by sight now. Who they don't like me? Ooh, nobody said amen. So what? I mean, we all lack for them to say amen and get goosebumps, but you're not going to have it all the time. You just want to get your mind made up. All right, to walk in the presence of God with His face turn towards you and his hands on you. And then this eighth one the Lord gave me, and he gave me this in about 25 seconds. Help me to properly pursue my potential in being a steward of the mystery of God faithfully. Help me to properly pursue my potential in being a steward of the mysteries of God faithfully. That's eight things that might be a true or false on your test. I got to give it to my secretary. She don't even know. You know, but she'll be able to copy it out of my Bible. I got it written in my Bible. The Lord give me things for ministers to pray for. And it's based on 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Because we are mysteries, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, you have to know how. Turn to James chapter 4. You have to be positioned to handle it. You have to be in position to handle the call on your life. Because you have an enemy. If you're not positioned properly and try to handle it, you're not going to make it. But if you position right, this scripture going to tell us something to do. We need to do. James chapter 4, see. Often. No, I'm not even talking about that. Wait a minute. James 4. Because I got too much to cover tonight. James 4. Let me see if I can use this thing coming up. That verse, James 4 and 7. Don't go nowhere. Don't try to do nothing in ministry until you submit. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Be submitted to God. The first, don't even worry about the devil. Just be submitted to God. We get to fighting the devil. The devil ain't even in the room. We've casting out devils and spitting and slobbing and vomiting and stuff. And the devil sitting on the porch and said, I got them all going crazy. They're all up in the flesh and the sense. So submit to God so you'll have what the Spirit called discernment. You'll know what's going on around you because you get to jump in and hollering, but it's a demon. There ain't no demon all the time. The demon behind it. So I'm trying to get you about these attacks and these resistors because basically in the church, pastors, we're going to have resistors, and I think the apostle did a good job in our book on teaching on that. But I'm going to, by the grace of God, I believe I'm going to put it a little further in just the norm that you got in your book. I saw some things when I began to study in the Spirit of God. So he brought this scripture up. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then you're ready.
Yes,
resist the devil. And look what happened when you submitted and you resist after you submit. What are you going to do? He'll flee from you. That means running, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he will flee from you. Why? He don't just see you. He see a steward of the mysteries of God. Submitted to God.
Yes, sir.
And therefore he know he cannot handle that person. Now, let's look at this. I want to show you three other scriptures. Let's look at this in Stephen case in Acts 7:10. Acts 7:10. See, can you identify with this? You know, you got these people he's dealing with that don't want to hear the gospel and fighting and won't keep hold on a tradition, don't want to make a transition, you know. So he went to preaching. That's why he wasn't able. Is it Acts 6:10 or Acts 7:10? Well, let me open my Bible because Acts 6:10, that's what I want you to look at. 6:10. We got something in 7 to look at too. But Acts 6:10. Look at that verse. That verse should never leave you. To see that you must find yourself in this position. When the enemy was trying to stop, you even look at the 8 verse, Stephen full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You see that? The 10th voice said, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They wanted to resist him, but they couldn't. They were not able to resist him. Why? He was a man who was submitted to God. And so there's no resistance to God. You can't resist God. But yet, I want you to see this now, because when we start talking about these resistances and attacks that can come in the church against leadership, I thought about even in homes and lives, that these things have to be understood to stop these resistors. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, another verse I want you to look at is in, now it's in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Acts 7:51. Mark these verses. You need to meditate these verses. You need to read the context of these verses. You stiff-necked. Now watch what he says. Stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart, and uncircumcised in your ears. I can't tell you nothing. Your heart won't receive it. Your ear won't receive it, and your stiff neck. He said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. Now, I'm up against this in this church. This baby got the roll, partner. Baby got the roll, so, you know, there's a lot of generational trapping that is still in some of my members. I got to get it out of them. So I just didn't serve communion on the second Sunday. I said, I don't know when I'm gonna serve communion. Because the Lord, I walked from my office, he said that made communion out of sacred cow. Out of golden calf. Remember they made that golden calf while Moses up to take care of business? And somebody have to challenge this. It's the only way the tradition going to be broken. Also, my 12 who traveled me now, the Lord told me this afternoon, I got to set up 4 meetings next year in 4 corners of the earth in the United States, ministers meeting with ministers, their wives, and the ministry of helps. That's the only way we're going to make this transition properly and make transmittance and transfers and impartation of this apostolic anointing. And I don't know if 2 days to get that. See, we might have to stretch that meeting longer. Because we got to get this job done. Stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. Well, quite naturally, that's going on. You're always going to be resist the Holy Ghost. But you say, as your father did, so do ye. And see, that's the trapping. That's why you cannot get the changes in the church as it should back to the original plan of God and fresh acts of the Holy Ghost and fresh move of the Spirit, fresh faith, a fresh ram of word, that the miracles and the signs and the wonders that the church originated in can come back on the scene. That men no longer have to fake a miracle. And see, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, another verse is pertaining to this is in Luke chapter 21, verse 15.
Yes, sir.
It's another verse pertaining to this. You're going to have this under your belt if you're going to be able to stay in the office with what you're standing in ministry when we start reading about these attackers. You see it?
Yes, sir.
That's the voice you want to know. You want to know where that's at. You want to know how to stop the enemy. You know. You want to get to the place where John the Apostle said, whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, and the wicked one touches him not. I think it's 1 John 5. I've seen that somewhere. The wicked one touches him not. Now, in the areas of attack on leadership targeted by resistors, areas of attack on leadership, that's why I give you those voices and those things at the beginning, targeted by resistors. I wrote a footnote, how to deal with resistors and release real breakthrough believers. How to deal with resistors and release real breakthrough believers. I might teach this Wednesday night in my church. How to deal with resistors and be released into real breakthrough position in your life. You always want to read Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. You always want to read that because there's an accuser. The resistor is an accuser. But the blood, you're overcoming by the blood, all right?
Yes, sir.
Also make a note of this scripture. Many years ago, 30 years ago, God gave me this scripture. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where it said, take heed to yourself and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost had made you oversee and feed the church of God with his own blood. Then Paul said, I didn't shun none of the counsel of God that I should have given you. And then he said, I recommend you to the word of grace, which is able to build you up. Then he says there's going to be grievous wolves that even rise up in the midst of you. Another thing, I don't know if you can find this little book as a Baptist boy. I came upon this book that brought certain deliverance to Mount Zion, the church I started with. Sheep, goats, and wool. That little book changed my life, boy, because I was able to recognize a sheep, and I was able to recognize somebody bought. I said, I know who you are, goat. And the wolf was trying to devour everybody. Sheep, wolf, and goat. Sheep, goats, and wool. One way it went. Now, we're really dealing with Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. This whole lesson on these resistors come from those two verses. I took time to read. The author said God outlined a series of demonic attacks on breakthrough leadership. Now let's deal with this word breakthrough, because we've used this word lightly, often and lightly, with very, 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 very little results. So it's sort of like a normal word, because the action has not manifested in the life of the church what it should, or in the life of ministers what it should. So the word don't even sound astounding. It just, you know, breakthrough. I mean saying it and they're not getting through. They don't thrill in saying it, and no, you know, you're not getting through to all the mercy and the grace and the anointing and blessings and things that the Bible says we should have, promises. You follow me? So the word breakthrough is not even excited, because they use it in the old school without getting through. Well, every now and then somebody got through. Don't get me wrong. I'm not judging anybody. But at large, ain't many breakthroughs getting breaking what? Break up the church. So this demonic attacks on breakthrough leadership. In other words, now, I want to say that you as a student of this school will be one who walk in breakthrough leadership. In other words, knowing how to get the job done, man. Knowing how to yield to the anointing, how to yield to the Holy Spirit, yes, how to deny yourself, yes, get out of ego,
yes,
and get in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Jesus meant it when he said there's a rest for the people of God. He meant it when he said my yoke is easy.
Yes,
he meant that.
Yes,
there is an easy yoke in ministry.
Yes.
You don't have to struggle, but you have to apply.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, you know, one of the things that I want to teach the people that I'm over as an overseer, when you read the scripture, the first thing you look for is your instruction.
Yes. Yes.
See, when you obey God, listen to me, the consequences is up to God. When you obey God, how it come out is up to him.
Yes, right.
But he always going to make it right.
Right.
He's going to make his word good. I don't care what. I don't care if it looks like you can't get across the water and you to your nose deep in the water. If God said, let's go to the other side, either the water going to be dried up, you're going to float for 5 or 6 hours, but you're going to get on the other side.
Yes.
So here he said, let's look at it. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's look at it a minute. Are you being helped?
Yes, sir.
See, now take these things because these things are from a lot of blood and sweat.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes,
yeah, because I made a lot of mistakes when I started, you know, trying to find my way. I couldn't get no information, man. I just bumped my head and keep going. I knew I was coming out. I want to get out some kind of way that I could have a decent ministry. I wasn't planning on being around here with no lunch bucket in one hand and a Bible in another hand and 4 deacons on my back. I wasn't planning on all that. I'm trying to admit, man. And so every office or everyone who have a calling on their life is a builder. Mm-hmm. And you're prepping yourself to build in the spirit realm the kingdom that God has manifested to us. You're a builder. And to be a builder, see, breakthrough to me is leaving the natural, operating in the supernatural.
Yes, sir.
Breakthrough mean to me be stopped. If I got orders from God, and I'm following what he told me to do.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to look at no wimpy preacher who crying. Tell my time is hard. My city is hard. This Darrell have knocked the bottom out of every lie preachers have said about God. This place was plumb nelly. All these subdivisions stolen on. They had nothing down here. Then God tell me I'm going to do it here. I say to myself, you must be going to do it because I sure can't do it down up here. I really need to be some supernatural thing. But he did it.
Yes.
We're here, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
We got, we got 233 students here in the school. 149 first year, 84 second year, 64 alumni enrolled, 5 countries represented, United States, United Kingdom, West Indies, New Zealand, yes. Belgium, 23 states represented.
Yes.
This Darrell. This is an example that if God called you to do something, it could be done anywhere.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I know I didn't do it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, like when I'm talking like I think I did it, but I know better. Then you better know better. Verse 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wroth. That means he was angry. And then he took great indignation. Then he mocked. Look what he did. See, they'll do you that. I went through all that. And but they quit, you know.
Yeah.
And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Look, yeah, I know all these questions. Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Other way, tell them you can't do it. He resisted. Will they revive the stone out of the heap of the rubbish which are burned? Every question he asked, the answer is yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes. Yes,
sir.
Every question be asked about your ministry. If God had told you to do it, these boys are working under the unction of God.
Yeah.
That I don't care what nobody else say, the answer is yes.
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 It will be done.
It will be done.
Because you can't stop God. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Never let the devil turn a divine delay into a devilish disappointment. You have to understand it. If you panic in a delay, you're going to make things worse. Wait on God. Get instruction. Stay in his face. Thanking him for showing you the way. If you don't pass the test, you're going to take that same grade over again.
Yes, sir.
In the spirit. So let's begin to work here. The enemy uses resistance to attack the leadership in order to demoralize the builders and cause them to become influenced and intimidated until they stop laboring for God. That's his aim. Tantalize you, intimidate you. So the author point out five major areas of attack on our leadership through these demonic resistors. One, on their nature and character. It's in your book. Two, on their attitudes and motives. Three, on their qualification and spiritual position. Four, on their wisdom and zeal. And five, on their ability and anointing. Nature and character, attitude and motive, qualification, spiritual position, wisdom and zeal, ability and anointing. Now, the first question he asks in that second verse, what are these feeble Jews doing? Now, society has a tendency to not respect spirituality. And the church somewhat gave them the right, because the church always going to them.
Right, that's true.
And the church always dealing with secondhand stuff. And garage sale and washing cars. Killing chickens, chicken with the chant. And so, somewhat, the church have been, if there's such a word, feeble-ish. Because the church does not have miracles, signs, and wonders, and manifestations, and demonstrations, and having angels bring new hearts and new kidneys down from heaven. You miss a time to shout that. See, them angels not going up down that ladder just to come visit us. Those angels bring things from heaven to produce the supernatural. We must obtain this fact. I must stay on the open heaven. I must put myself in a position to hear the voice from heaven. And I must let the Holy Ghost land and rest on me as heavy as he want to at any time. That was Jesus' secret to ministry. That was Jesus' secret to ministry. Jesus said, I'm not doing this. My Father's doing it. I do just what I see him do. Well, if you ain't seen nothing, what you gonna do? So you should have visions and dreams as you go in your ministry. I saw a man riding a jackass with one eye the other night. He had a patch over his eye. And then the Lord gave instruction to say he's riding a jackass. The saddle came off. Then the bridle. And then when the saddle came off, he saw a snake that was Satan. Then the bridle came off. Then the truck passed on by. Well, how you interpret that? He missed it. You ain't gonna be riding a one eye jackass. And so when you're not, I saw this. And so, I can attest to this fact, like some ministers riding a one-eyed jackass for how they're coming out. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
See, I know, somebody got to talk about this stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know some riders of one-eyed jackass yourself.
Yes, sir.
City in ministry.
Yes, sir.
See, I saw that and I also saw. I saw in the night watch, about 3:20 a.m. in the morning, I saw a man with his shirt off walking, and it seemed like his back had just got healed. And his right hand was behind his back. He got a heel back. His right hand was behind his back full of money. So he got held in wealth. So healing and wealth go along together. See, the Lord will show you things. Now, you're not going to be able to discern them if you plan church. And the devil ain't going to show me nobody healed. And he ain't going to show me nobody with no handful of money. Why? I got scripture on that, John 10:10.
That's right.
He ain't come to show me no Bible, no money. He's a thief.
Yeah.
He ain't gonna show me nobody healed. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. So God's showing me something. I don't know if I had to act it out in the service or what. I just told you ahead of time. I had a man talk to me with back trouble on Sunday, and he's planning on going to get his operation. I'm not against operation. I'm not against nothing for that to get a person healed. I ain't against that. I mean, if your faith ain't working, it's been your practice to do something. All these deep fellas, I don't know what they're talking about. Deep, it's too deep. Satan will attack us on what we are. Satan will attack us on what we are, but our answer is not in what we are, but in what God can make out of us. Now, that's a powerful statement. Now, you have to understand, we're talking about, you know, we call them feeble. Well, yeah, fever in the morning, fever in the evening. Fever, what other thing? How did it? Fever! You remember, y'all remember that. Y'all like y'all don't know nothing about it. All y'all holy, you know, I know. Y'all remember that song, Fever. Listen to this, listen to what the Spirit of God is trying to teach us now. The world see us as feeble people. I don't know if you've ever been with dignitaries that had no respect for ministry.
Yes.
They'll call everybody up. I broke it up to me. I broke it up. I turned the table. I broke it up. I said, you know, I'm not. I said, I tell them, go to the wedding. I ain't going to wedding getting no line. You're going to have a table for me and a server.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
While I'm on it, this dressing's cold. Casual dressing will make you casual in the spirit.
Right.
You come in before a king. You should dress like you're about to meet a king.
Yes, sir.
You wouldn't meet President Obama. You, President Obama said, look, we're going to eat at 6 o'clock at a certain restaurant. Yeah, you called me up with a band-long shirt on, meeting the President of the United States. Well, I believe that the enemy have tricked preachers to wear these little band-long and these little shirts. They even had one man had a short suit, a pair of shorts and a coat on and a necktie, I believe, preaching. And I tried to cover my voice with that. I didn't have my finger on just what it was, but it's a dishonor to God for us not to dress properly.
Yes, sir, I agree.
You will not catch me in no jean and no shirt hanging out of my pants. I saw Junior tonight. Junior had got a chance to go home. I said, Junior, go home. Do something. Quickly. Satan will attack us with what we are, but our answer is not in what we are, but in what God make out of us. Do you understand that? Do you understand it? See, the Apostle Paul knew about grace. He was a real educated man. He wasn't no dummy. But he wanted to see in the spirit world, and he knew his education couldn't take him there. So Paul said, I forget the thing there behind me. I press. You know, he forgot about all that. But he said some things to us. And those things like Philippians 4:13. See, I can do all things, watch what he said now, through Christ, which have strengthened me.
Yes,
sir. Apostle Paul again talked to us in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Also in Romans, he talked to us again when he was dealing with Abraham. He said Abraham was strong in faith. He was not weak in faith, but strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Yes, sir.
So his strength came from God. His strength came from faith. His strength come from an anointing. His strength come from revelation.
Yes, sir.
See, you're going to do it. There's a lot of things you're going to face you can't handle.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Yes, sir.
But God is in the can't handle business.
Yes, sir. Yes.
What did the writer say? What is Chronicles 16:9 said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro and down the earth to see somebody whose heart is perfect toward him, that he may show himself strong on their behalf. Apostle Paul explained when he's trying to deal with that throne in the flesh. He said, I find out when I'm weak, I'm strong.
Yeah.
I find out when I'm out the way, God show up. Now, I listen to the man, a worry heart is an unbelieving heart. And y'all got to stop living with the spirit like the spirit of an orphan. You know what an orphan is, right? Orphan. I might not be saying it right. Somebody ain't got no mom and daddy. And a lot of people in the church live with that spirit of an orphan. Like you don't even have a father who knows, a father who cares, a father who can.
Yes, sir. Glory to God. Yes, sir.
So he'll attack you. He'll attack. That's why the church being attacked. Because she looks so feeble. Now Jesus, number two, Jesus said to follow him, that he will make us become what he chose, what he chose us for the first place. See, he got to do it. You talking about peaceful. You talking about restful. When you know you're not doing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
They call it in a good, hot, flowing section, relying on the Holy Ghost. Now I talk about these resistors. These resistors, you know, some of them don't know what's going on. Some of them don't want nothing to happen. These resistors will assassinate our character. But we need to know God does not hold us for our weaknesses. Paul couldn't say that. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. If God hold me, God chose the foolish thing of the world.
Yeah.
To confound the wise.
Yes,
Paul said, I didn't come preaching you an enticing word of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that weaknesses, your weaknesses is an asset. Your inability, not a liability, it's an asset. Your inabilities is an asset. Watch me now, because I feel an anointing. Your weakness is an asset. Your inability is an asset, because it attracts the anointing.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yes, sir.
The anointing don't have to come on you if you already can handle it.
Yeah.
He chose you because you can't handle it. Do you see me, or you're still looking for me? One time that man says, Lord, I prayed. I did everything I could do. I don't know what to do. I got my eyes on you. Second Chronicle 20, you remember them five kings that come against it?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. These resistors will assassinate our character, but we need to know God does not hold us for our weaknesses. Now, there's no excuse to sin. And I'm not in agreement with these grace messages that are being taught. You know, that you don't, it's just like you can do anything. No. You ought to appreciate grace, but you ought to do your part in obeying God. I'm not trying to find no grace gravy train. There's some things I have to do. I have to use my faith. I have to repent. I have to walk in love. I have to forgive. Now, I'm hearing this, Lord. I'm hearing this. My God, you need to help me now. You can put grace in a position that it can't work. I just heard that. But you can put grace in a position that it can't work. And not that grace is not capable, but you have flirted so much with it. And you're not paying attention to the Holy Ghost changes. So you just flop out and say, grace is going to take care of it. You know you're wrong.
Right, right.
But you have no godly sorrow because grace is going to handle it.
Yeah.
I think that's playing with fire, me.
Yes, sir.
I am what I am because of the grace of God, and I labor more than you all.
Yes, sir.
But yet, I know a certain thing that I need to do. I need to yield. I need to obey God. I need to pray. I need to seek God's faith. I need to repent. I need to forgive people. I need to walk in love. I need to ask God for the fruit of the Spirit. I need to admit when I make a mistake.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
See, Jesus said, I don't know where I find that scripture. Jesus said, I'm talk to y'all tomorrow. I ain't going to say nothing else right now. Because the enemy come, he ain't got nothing on me. He ain't got no target. I ain't giving him no target. All right? So I'm carrying you up, but I'm not just, I'm hitting things that the Spirit give it to me, all right?
Yes, sir.
God chose us despite knowing our weakness and give gracious measure of allowances for us to grow up into maturity. All right, see now, gracious measure of allowances. In other words, God is patient, but he wants us to grow. He don't want you in a Sam rut next year this time that you're in now. Grow. We got to grow.
Yes, sir.
See. Let us learn to handle our immaturity and weakness with God's grace and perspective. See. There are areas in the spirit that I'm immature. You know, do you know any area that you might be immature in?
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Remember, there's always an area that you're immature in, okay? See, like, the Lord revealed to me, I think this will bless you, that Satan cannot operate in a real worship experience. A real worship atmosphere, he cannot operate. Why? Because he can't break through in worship. He was thrown out of that area.
Wow, that's good.
Which is why the Father said, worship him in spirit and in truth. Satan can't come now.
Yes,
sir. So I want to share this with you. Sometimes your prayer looks like they're not working. Stop worshiping. Sometimes look like your faith. Let me help you tonight now. Like you've asked God for something, you're believing for something. Like you just get up every morning and say, all right, God, I know you got it. Just worship him.
Yes,
I ain't asking for it no more. Glory to God. You the most high God. You can do anything. He can't say anything. God can't handle that, boy. God's going to do something. You can do anything. I know it. Then if you really want to get radical, raise the one up, holler out. God can do anything. You see, if you don't handle your immaturity and your weaknesses, with God's grace and God's perspective, the enemy going to break it out. Mm-hmm. The resistors, people, the enemy use people, you know.
Yes, sir.
They're going to break it down. If you're a pastor or you're traveling evangelist, you're going to run up on resistors everywhere you go.
Yes, sir.
See, some pastors got resistors, don't even know they're resistors. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, until somebody come along and expose them. I like this statement. My secretary outlined this book for me. It takes maturity to handle these issues of our own personal inadequacies.
Yes, sir.
Take maturity. See, and you need to recognize, because when the enemy coming in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. So the first attack of these resistors, like in a church. See, this church here is in a transitional period. They don't know what I'm going to do, because I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm praying all the week, because I know that I'm held accountable for a lot of ministries and a lot of people around the world. And I think I've been assigned by God to permit the Holy Spirit to bring the church back to recognizing gifts, and for those gifts to recognize the church, who she really is. And to love God's people, but love them enough to tell them they're wrong. Mm-hmm. See. Then the second thing he says is that these resistors, they attack on your attitudes and your motive. Are they going to restore it for themselves? See, that was the action. Are they going to restore it for themselves? Your attitude and your motive. This accusation was leveled against the leadership motive. They didn't want to build that wall. See, my intention, I want to build this church up on the rock.
Amen.
On the apostle, the prophet, Jesus Christ, the chief king, chief cornerstone.
Yeah.
The reason he said apostle and the prophet, because the church have not recognized its delegated authority that it has keys to open heaven. Authorized by the king. Even a janitor have keys. God dog. They don't give us no credit, man. Janitor have big roll of keys. I remember when janitor at our school, man, he had more keys than the principal. The principal, I was trying to see who had the most. The principal had some keys. The janitor had as much keys as the principal had. So Satan, make sure your motive and your attitude is spiritual. Satan will use our accusers to attack our motive and attitudes. Now here's what they did, Nehemiah's worker. They were accused of being selfish. Now I can see that accusation coming against me. Because I act like I'm selfish sometimes. I want things to happen. You know, I come out and interrupt the choir. Now that's selfish. Ain't nobody else doing that. Why you got to do all that? You know? See? And so they attack you there. They're accused of being selfish and building those walls for personal benefit and gain. Now, you know, I teach and money always on the altar and people always giving me money. All they say, oh, man, I don't know if that's from God or not. So now you let Satan rob you of this anointing.
Right.
Now you're looking for retirement. Now let me tell you something. There's nothing in the Bible about retirement.
That's right.
Everybody in the Bible worked till they died.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to do the same thing. I ain't got no retirement.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
There wasn't no Social Security in the Bible either. God was their soul. We didn't got to believe it in the government. Now, these people going crazy, man, about this Obamacare and can't get their insurance. And why? Because they don't have no money. See? I got insurance, but I don't need it. I got enough money to pay for it.
That's right.
But I use the system.
That's right.
But I'm not scared.
Yeah.
See, if you listen to me, if y'all follow me close enough, y'all don't want to go nowhere. Y'all don't want to follow. Y'all like riding a jackass with the one eye. Because you're missing. Y'all don't get enough money to go. Y'all just act like y'all ain't got enough money. Y'all go anywhere else you want to go. That's why I stopped that doggone bus ministry. Had a bus ministry here early part. And I see them people all out in Gonzales buying dresses and stuff. Then they're vexing my man every Sunday that they ain't ready on time, bus blowing. So they come here one morning and say, I had to wait for him. I say, all right, the bus ministry shut down. Sell the bus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Go and pick them little children up. You know, pick their little children up, bring them a chair. I ain't picking nobody up. You can catch y'all the best way you can. Y'all go everywhere else. You get to the ball game, get to the movie.
Right.
Now the church got to come pick you up like we got to beg you to come to church. I preach to them two old snaggletooth women with one wig on. I ain't worried myself, man. I'll get you if you want to get you. So when you are going upstream and against the grain of normality, religion, tradition, and hearing the voice of God and trying to bring forth God in his fullness, there are those who call you selfish.
Yes, sir.
They attack you. Motive. Right. Just make sure your motive be right.
Right.
See. Do not let the accusers unsettle our call and our passion to love and serve him. Don't let them stop you. That's why you got to pray that prayer I'll give you. So you'll know what's going on, all right?
Yes, sir.
Do not allow the resistors to demoralize and discourage the builders in our churches. Mm-hmm. I watch that. See, I got some good people in my church now. I got some good people. And if I see one of them trying to stop one of my good people, I'm going to expose the one who is no good.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
See? Because you see, I'll pull a cover off you.
Yes, sir.
I sure will. Because we got a job to do. And you can't do this job by yourself. You got to have people who have heard the voice of God. And then their lives will be so blessed. Listen. The church is the body of Christ. When you take care of Christ's body, Christ will take care of your body. Take care of your family. You see what I'm saying? So don't allow the leadership, us who are preparing for ministry or in ministry, don't allow the resistance to demoralize and discourage the builders in our churches. Are they going to restore it for themselves? Yes. I need it restored. I need the church to come back to its full potential.
Yes, sir.
I want to live in it a while. I want to see the glory. The real glory. I don't just want smoke, I want fire. Everybody seen smoke. I want to see some fire. You say they ain't baptized with the Holy Ghost and smoke. We need to protect the pure in heart and those who are laboring in his kingdom. See. I like this one. We need to protect our workers from being harassed by these resistors. Your pastor, y'all listen to me? Yeah, man. Don't let them mess no good people up. Say, hold on, I want to talk to you. Come here. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you going to straighten this out. You're not going to step in here with this. We just got to put some people out. I put a few out. Yeah, I put them. I said, yeah. She said, I see you out of here. She said, I ain't going nowhere. I said, ushers, I'll pay for it. Get out. I'll pay the bond and all that. Y'all ain't going to jail. Get out. And they carried out. Her and her baby carried out. I had another beggar. She kept begging. Kept going to the bathroom, clipping people. I said, God, have I warned you about that begging? She got me real slow. Then she's a slick kind because she's real calm. I said, go find you another church. I'm tired dealing with you. All this preaching I'm doing, you still trying to make a hustle in this church? Go find you another church. I put out. I see you can't handle this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But she going to bring a beggarly spirit in the church, and she wasn't planning on changing.
Right.
She was a hustler.
Yes, sir.
I got one I warned about that now, She hit one of my major girls about some money. She's still in the church. She's sitting kind of tight now. And I warn you about something, baby. You one step out the door. I just have to face the Lord Jesus myself. I ain't going to let you make all my memories crazy. I don't wait too hard with these memories for you to come here with your crazy self. You just got here 15 days ago. Now you got three of my memories jacking the head. I got to get this thing straight, man. They don't know me. So these resistors, they harass workers. And, I've been sitting here all my life. You know, they don't want to move. They don't want to do things. Then you have to take it, you know. Then the third thing on their qualification and spiritual position. Remember they say, can they offer sacrifices? In that second verse, all of them, can they offer sacrifice? In the Old Testament, only a priest could offer sacrifice and burnt offering. You knew that, right?
Yes, sir.
The accusation is that they were doing more than what they were qualified to do.
Yes,
sir. Wow. Yeah, you see a lady point. They always sat around saying, "You ain't got to do all that."
Right.
I had a lady told a lady that was working for me. She told her, "says, why you don't have to do all that? He a hard man." She said, "But I'm straight." Well, the woman knew better. I mean, she's just trying to bring some resistance in because she can't run the church.
Yeah. Yes.
No, we're going to burn this baby down. Because I'm way too hard up in here. Ain't going to have no church up in here.
Yes.
Nobody take this church. No. I'm way too hard. I ain't thinking about no voting or nothing of that. Go vote outdoors. I'm trying to do what the Lord wants me to do, man. I love the Lord. I believe I'm doing what's right.
Yes, sir.
So I ain't gonna let nobody just come in here and take over. You ain't taking over. I watched you a long time when you come to this church. I got a man I'm watching now. He just running around all calm. He think I don't know some things. I know some things. I look him up on the internet. I know who he is. Come here all calm down. When he was on the internet, he had suits and neckties on.
Yeah.
See, your members get in the groove with some of these people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, a lot of my members train. They ain't getting too close to nobody. But you get these people get right up on there. They'll wait. Their people wait 2 years, 3 years.
Yes,
they work in the system.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. They work the system. They ain't working no system yet. Sometimes people, you pass it, they try you.
Yes, sir.
I got a word.
Yeah.
Say it's probably for you. I ain't got no witness. Go tell your family at the house. I got a song. I ain't got no witness for no song right now. That lady over there want her to sing. Most resistors have been in their churches even before the foundation of the earth. And as such, they have seen the foundations grow and the present state of the church. And they are resistors, you see. They think they got resisting rights. The leadership at the present time may be young leadership who have come into the church after these resistors.
Yeah.
So now, the Lord said to me, there is no seniority in the spirit realm.
That's right.
You may have been there longer, and do respect your elders, but when your elders trying to stop something that God said to do, then we got to check with God about this. You see what I'm saying? Often these resistors' sense of ownership of the church is steeped in the fact that they have been there longer than others.
Right.
Now, that don't sound too heavy, but a lot of churches are in the stuck because of that.
That's right.
You hear what they said? This is ours. I thought it was Jesus' church. This is our church. This is not my church. This is not my church. I'm just a steward here.
Yes, sir.
You too.
Yes, sir.
You get the owner in the church. My God, man, you got trouble then, man. But that's what the resistors will do.
Yes, sir.
I like these last two points because the church has become so easy, and they call it grace, but yet you have to have authority and anointing to discern what's right and what's wrong in the church. That's why God put officials in the church, put ministry gifts in the church, put apostles, prophets, pastors in the church to oversee the flock.
Amen.
And to watch what's going on. So here's the author made a statement. No one become an automatic member in any club or society.
Right.
You got something to go through.
Yeah.
You don't become an automatic member. You say, I believe in Jesus Christ. You're a member. Sit right there. Any defaulted member loses his position in society. But the church accommodates it, resistance to his own frustration and doom.
Wow.
If a person is like the woman who was beggar, I give her a lot of chances. Another old girl about to put out, she left herself, and she came back, setting up me, you know. I saw her. I could see him, boy. You could have hundreds of people. I could see him. I saw her. I said, all right, I got you. You mark. And I went on preaching. But she acted all right. She crazy, man. She put up poison on three chairs. And then she argued with the usher, you know. Resistors. You have to, in ministry, you have to know that you're going to have resistors. That's why I give you those voices. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Yes, sir.
You got to have some resistance in you too.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
That which is against God's will, you have to stop it. If you're a leader, there must be a certain fear in a church. A person walks through that door and says, I ain't acting up here. So they can sense it. They can sense authority is in place. That's why we don't have a whole lot of crazy things going on in my ministry. Because when you walk in this church, there's a lot of matured men and women I've trained myself. And they will hem you up if you try to bring disgrace on the kingdom of God. And every church should have it. Should have that maturity, that authority, that awareness, that divine sensitivity. That this ain't going the way the Spirit wanted to go. Somebody need to check her, check him, check them. See. I don't like you can't do nothing in that church. Yeah, you can do a whole lot. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Lift your hand up, praise the Lord. Read your Bible. Yeah. Dance in the Spirit. You can do a whole lot here. But you ain't gonna take it over. You find what I'm saying? And then you know you brought your family to church. You come for church. You ain't come for no foolishness. You ain't come for no vote today. I want to hear from the Lord.
That's right.
Let me see where I can get off here at. Let's look at on their wisdom and zeal. They'll attack you there. Can they finish it in a day? Now they sit there and watch me build my house. They watch me build this church. You know, I know some of them say, ha, what are they trying to do? The trying day is over.
Amen.
My friend Jesse, my best friend, Jesse the Planner, I brought him here. I said, Jesse, I got a foyer I want you to see. My wife had designed this foyer, you know. So Jesse come in here, he walk around. Somebody told me, he said, man, I thought you'd attack a little foyer here on the church. Man, it's another church. You know, this is a good one here. Talking about attacking those wisdom and zeal. He said, the resistors often attack the zeal of the leadership who move with great passion for the works of the Lord. Ah,
yes.
Oh, yeah, he come again. I'm coming again Sunday. I don't know what I'm coming with, but I'm coming because we got to make some move. We got to make some drastic move in the kingdom, in the Spirit of God, to get ourselves in place that nobody has to walk in defeat, nobody has to walk in lack, nobody has to walk in sickness or disease. Nobody had to go to a house they don't like.
That's right.
Well, then you got to go to a house you don't even want to go. The car going backward and forward at the same time. You go in the driveway, the car don't even go. It's not jumping. Tell me, man. I love to go to my home, man. Not talking about the size of the house. I'm just talking about my family. Then they ask the question, why are the leadership working so hard and overexerting themselves? Why must they push everybody into commitment to the vision and rush those projects and programs? See, they ask why? They be asking all them questions. They're resistors, that's why. The resistors believe in the sovereignty of God can do it, or he will raise up others to do it in his own time. Otherwise, we don't have to do it. The resistors often attack the decision made by the leadership so as to discredit them, because they know that such decision will draw them out of the comfort zone into the battle zone.
Yes.
So that's what I'm calling this church, out the comfort zone. We're going into the battle zone. That's right. That's the only way you're going to win the war.
That's right.
And I like my church.
Yes,
I love the atmosphere. I love the people. I love my own company. I love the fresh anointing. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. It's about the, but I love it. I get up and I say, I'm going to church. Going to meet my people. Glory to God. You know, people say, I don't feel like going out this morning back with them people. Why? Because they're leading you. That's why.
Yeah.
And you haven't got them in the realm of the spirit where you all don't want to call.
Yes, yes,
right.
Sir.
See? So they comfort zone.
Yes, sir.
They get about that comfort zone. You want something to happen, you got to get out of that comfort zone.
Yes, sir.
Now, you got to have, I'm talking to a young pastor now, but you got to be wisdom in making your transition, son. Don't move too fast. Teach your people faith, teach them love, and wait for that crack. That crack going to come because some going to come ask you, Pastor, there's more to this than this? Then you'll be able to talk to that one person.
Right.
Then it'll start spreading.
Yes, sir.
Men have followed my advice and men have not followed my advice. The one who didn't follow my advice got put out.
Wow.
The deacon had a meeting Saturday night.
Yeah.
When he showed up Sunday, they want keys. Because those deacons know how to change them locks, boy. They will change them locks. That key won't fit. So you got to watch. You got to watch that. Let me try to close. All right, that's a good one. The 10 other spies sent out to scout the new land of Canaan were more afraid for themselves than for God's people and his purposes. You can't, now I'm telling you right now, if you won't be in ministry, you can't be no coward.
Amen.
You can't be compromising and copping out because somebody don't like it.
Yeah.
Huh? No, you got to preach the gospel.
Yes, sir.
You love people, but you can't be compromising because people don't like what God, people don't like what God told you to do.
Yeah.
And you know God told you to do it.
Yes, sir.
That's tough sailing.
Yes, sir.
So they were, now I see somebody, them 10 spies. See, the 10 spies sent out to scout the new land of Canaan were more afraid for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They were thinking about their own.
Yes, sir.
Than for God's people. And his people. God told them to give them the land.
That's right.
So when Joshua was one of them guys, wasn't he?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes,
sir. All right, when Joshua took over, Joshua just sent two. The next thing they had to smile, Joshua sent two guys. He finally sent 12, but he sent two.
Mm-hmm.
He won't have all that, you know, get you two good ones, check them out real good, and then send them. He'll send all that. Well, you know, Gideon had 300.
Yes.
What he started with? 32,000. Lord, I really thought you were going to use me in the ministry. My church had dropped from 32,000 to 300. Ah! Look what God did with him. We better stop being so number conscious and get fruit conscious.
Yes, right.
Wow.
Yes, right.
Wow. Wow.
Fruit. If your ministry is bearing fruit, son, you're in God's will.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't necessarily mean that your ministry is in God's will because of numbers and now the money.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He didn't say you should know them by how much money they have.
No.
He didn't say you should know them by how many members they have.
No,
he said you should know them by their fruit. I would like to believe, I believe it, I'm going to close tonight, but I'd like to believe, I believe this, that a lot of the people that I've ministered to now are living holy, sanctified lives.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
You know what I'm
yes,
saying? I didn't say they got a perfect heart. I'm saying, here's what I'm saying. They have a perfect heart toward God.
Yes,
I'm not saying they're sinless, but they're not just radical. They're going to walk in radical sin.
Right.
You're not going to get them, you know, run around on their husband or run around on their wives or,
mm-hmm.
or steal because the word got them.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Every pastor needs to be able to say that about some of his members anyway.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You got to trust somebody
yes,
until proven different,
right.
You know.
That's true.
So I have, I don't go around patting members on the back, but I have members I trust.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, them girls who at my house every Sunday. I don't want no crook up my house, boy. Look, I pick up myself. No, I don't want my house. Look at all of my stuff, Miss Mess around and snooping around and telling everybody, you know what he got in that house? And now they've been to what I got in my house.
That's right.
God put it in now. Matter of fact, I'm going to my house right now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look, take up that other chapter. Finish reading that chapter. I think it's what the next chapter was. 13th chapter. Let me see. Huh? What? 23, right? 23. Believers moving under spiritual authority. That's a good one, too. We'll deal with apostolic concept on authority and really get a grip of authority. And let me tell you one more. Can I tell you one more?
Yes, sir.
I found out in studying worship, and I'm still teaching on worship. Worship creates a certain atmosphere, right?
Yes, sir.
But I found out the reason that the church is not in as much authority as she should be, or individual believers are not in as much authority as available to them, because they have not created enough intimacy with God.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Intimacy fertilizes authority. And you create that intimacy by spending time in his presence, just you and him.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And giving him the glory. And that intimacy, the Bible said, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. That intimacy is actually getting in the presence of God. And the more presence of God you have on you, the more authority become available to you in the spirit realm.
Yes, sir.
Why? 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 Because you become more accurate in the spirit. See? See? You see, the intimacy with God reveals the abilities of God. And see, authority work great in ability. You got that?
Yes,
see,
yes,
see, once you sense how big God is, and he's for you, that's why it says, if God is for you, no weapon formed against me. See, when a person gets close enough to God, they recognize that that person is undeniable, undefeatable, and unbeatable. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, meekness is not a weakness. Meekness is annoying. Stand still. You need not fight in this battle. This battle is the Lord. See, that person will whoop you before you raise your hand. See. Don't let people get you on the defense. Stay on offense as long as possible. Then when God tell you to do something else, don't ever try to defend your character. Let your character defend itself. We don't need to have no shooting match. Just go ahead and say what you want to say, but let proof.
Yes, yes.
See, let the proof will bring accusers to open shame. I've had many people walk to me and say, man, they told me you this, you that, you that. I said, man, you're a nice guy. I said, yeah, I'm a nice guy. I just believe in doing things right. God been with me ever since. Later wrote me a letter. My wife, I haven't read it, so I'm going to cut it up some. You know, I can talk as long as I want because I'm the president of the school.
Yes.
And, My wife, I got to go read that letter. My wife said, lady wrote the letter. She called herself crazy. She said, I'm the dumbest person you ever seen. She said, I'm sawing. God blessing me. The authority is on me, and I quit sawing. She said, I talked to my crazy self. Yeah, my seed, I'm sawing again. I got the letter. And she was a big sawer, and she was receiving big results. She said, how dumb can you get? She said, I just stopped. This is stupid. This is asinine. She said, I caught a hold of myself. I got to read that letter tonight. My wife got the letter. I'm going to read it when I get back home. And she says, you ain't dumb, are you?
No, sir.
No, you keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. You want to sow what you got. Bible said you be faithful with a few things. He'll make you rule over many.
Yes,
don't be like that man with one talent. I'm about to preach for Philip. I ain't going to preach too much of this, but I think I'm going to preach it. That man with that one talent didn't really know God. So he had wrong accusations against God. Yeah, and it caused him to not function as he should. And he lost out. Now, your stewardship is so important.
Yes, sir.
And that's a text we read, your stewardship. Your stewardship.
Yes, sir.
Must I tell it? See, most of y'all are dealing with ownership. And that's where the problem is. Yeah. It's your house, your car, your children, all that. Y'all own that. You know. Stuff you got on the dresser, all that belong to you. You own that. See. And so you can't become a steward like that.
Wow.
Didn't the Bible say in Psalm 24:1? Well, that mean all your stuff too.
That's right.
And if you disattach yourself from that stuff, if God said, give that ring away, you ain't got no problem with that.
Yes, sir.
Because it wasn't yours no way.
That's right.
Then, what one of y'all ever went to a funeral and had a gold wagon hooked behind the hearse with all the nothing a man bring in this world? So, develop your stewardship of being a soul. Don't be broke all your life. Don't wait till you get 60 talking about having some money. You need to get some money now. Y'all young people.
Yes,
I'm going to work with these young people. Y'all not going down like they've been going down. Y'all going to know what to do. What?
Yes, sir.
And see, I find out this young generation. Listen, Pastor, you listen to me. This young generation ready, brother.
Ready. Yes, sir.
We had a peculiar anointing in here Sunday.
Yes.
And I know why it was here. I know the girls praying, man, but I know why that anointing was here. Because I call them young people, point out some young people I'm going to work with around this altar. Them young people zoom in. They zoom in because they don't want to be left out. And they're looking for something, and the church don't present it to them because the church always got them in the back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Youth
yes, sir.
Building somewhere. They people tired people. And then you have to understand, a young boy going to look at a girl.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
If you don't, pray for him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You want him to set up here like he don't see her? Look,
yes,
they gonna look at each other.
That's right. That's right.
And the boy gonna shoot a little trash every now and then. Hey, that's being that age. Have you been that age? That's being that age. So,
yes,
you don't put him out of church for that.
Yes, sir.
I put him out for not doing it.
Yeah.
My goodness. All right, class. Do what you gotta do. Do what you gotta do.